Now, what you see here, I get emotional when I think about it. If you add all the years up between the five people, that's like 270 years plus of service and fellowship and family experiences. This is a big deal, y'all. So many churches these days don't make a big deal about church membership, but being a member, being a part of what the Lord is doing here in our midst and our ability to reach this community is the result of faithful membership. And I'm just really grateful for these folks and their testimony. It was really wonderful spending time with them this week as we were making these little videos. It was really great. Well, let's go to the Word of God now. Can we do that? Romans chapter 12, a passage of Scripture that you all know. In our prayer time this morning, one of my brothers who was praying for me began quoting from the passage because he knew what I was going to be preaching. It's very familiar to all of us. Now, I'm going to be reading from New American Standard this morning, which may be a little different from what you have, but it'll be the same words, maybe just arranged a little different. I'm going to back up to, I'm in the wrong book in my Bible. That would have gone really bad. I looked down at chapter 12, verse 1. It didn't say the right thing, Pastor Bobby. But here it is. I'm there now. I got a little teary-eyed, so everything's a little blurry right now. I'm kind of struggling. But listen, if you have your Bible open, you'll be able to see this. Listen to the verses that precede chapter 12. In 1133, this passage has a real meaning to me. It was read at my grandfather's funeral, who I was very close to. You've heard me talk about him before. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor? It's a great question. Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Now, it's important to read that before we start chapter 12. And the reason it's important is because of the first verse in chapter 12. My folks in my grace group understand what I'm talking about because I always make a big deal about this. Because the first verse in chapter 12 is, therefore. And you always have to ask the question, what's the therefore there for? I know it's a terrible joke. People have been using that for years. But it's a good thing to remind you to go back and read again what it was that was prior to what you're about to read. Because what you just read, to him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Some of your translations don't have the word holy. It should be there. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Some translations just say reasonable service. But it's more than that. It's a spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. There's the mandate. Now here comes a little bit of the explanation. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allowed it to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, help us to see how that as members of the Grace Baptist Church, we are members of that one body. We each have different functions, but you use all of these functions to give the ministry to this community. Lord, help us to see that while we have different gifts and none are really any more important than the other, we all need to be involved. We all need to be used for your glory. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Look back at verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, because of what I just said, it's to him we give the glory forever. Amen. And therefore, because of that, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I've called the message an acceptable sacrifice. A sacrifice is anything that we give that costs us something. And our sacrifices often reveal the value of the one to whom we offer them. And therein lies the problem. You see, for a lot of us, the sacrifice of our time, the sacrifice of our finances, the sacrifice of our talents that we use for other things other than the worship of God demonstrates that we don't always have the Lord, who we just read, to him be the glory forever, in mind. And you know what, folks? It's something we have to think about carefully, because in the course of our day-to-day living, we become desensitized to the truth of God's worth that mandates this from it, and sometimes we get a little bit lazy, and we think more about our own comfort, our own selves, and not his glory. Everything that you have the ability to do, God gave you that ability for his glory. Everything that you and I do should be done to the glory of God, as we think carefully about who he is and are you ready, and about what he's done for every single one of us in this room. Every single one of us in this room. He gave his son for us, you see, that we might be reconciled to him. Because on our own, folks, we're toast. You got to let that sink for a minute. We tend to think of ourselves as being a little more capable than maybe we actually are. Well, I do that pretty good, and I do this pretty good, and I do that. You know, and the world's really privileged to have me. No. No. The Lord doesn't really need any of us, but he blesses us by giving us gifts and using us for his glory. There's no sense in anywhere in this scripture where God is like in a panic if we're about to leave this earth. Well, Paul used the word urge under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the word urge, I think of it in terms of being discriminating in that its use lies between commanding and beseeching. Some of your Bibles have that word in there when in the translation, I beseech you therefore, brother. Beseech is sort of like, it's not as strong as command. It's an urgent plea, but it's not as strong as command. I tend to think, and I think the language used in the passage leans more towards a command. In other words, Paul is saying to us, if you don't do this, you're going to be in trouble. You know, it's just like with your children. There are a lot of times that you give them, you beseech them or you urge them or you try to convict them into paying attention to something that you know will be dangerous to them. Now, you be careful. Don't do that, because if you do, something really bad could happen. When they're little, you might even give them a little reminder, if you know what I mean. I mean, if your three-year-old is running to the street and you see a car coming, you're not going to say, well, you go ahead, you be you, you run out there and let's just see what happens. Maybe you'll learn. No, that's not the way it goes, is it? You want to give them a reminder so that when you say, stop, that they don't go, why? You want them to stop. They can ask you why, but you stop because I said stop. That's the urgency of what's going on. Paul sort of uses this kind of language here to tell us how urgent this is. It's the idea that he's describing what is happening or that which we are being challenged, the idea of God's mercy. See what he said there? By the mercies of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Our bodies are the vehicles that implement God's desires for our society. God uses our bodies. Now, it's through our body that we serve. Now, it's great to be prayerful and mindful and all these kinds of things, but every now and then we need to get up off our knees and do something. Don't mishear me. I'm not saying that prayer is not important. It is important. But every now and then we need to get busy, y'all. You know, and the cool thing about praying is you don't necessarily have to be on your knees to get it done. You can be praying as you're going on your way. Lord, help me. Even as I was driving over here this morning, it's like, Lord, use me. The words that I speak, make them your own. Help me to communicate the things that you want them to hear. I'm driving, y'all, on really skinny roads. I'm not praying with my eyes closed. That's one of the biggest things I've had to get used to in Tennessee. In Texas, the roads are all really wide, even two-lane roads. Two-lane country roads in Texas usually have a speed limit of 75. They have to be wide. It's kind of crazy. The Greek word that Paul used here for sacrifice is thusia, and it represents the act or the right of sacrificing something of value for the purpose of bringing glory to God and for the edification of the body. So we use our gifts to demonstrate God's glory because, you know, in and of ourselves, we're kind of pathetic. You know, some of us are more skilled than others at certain things. You don't want me to try to build something because I'm not real good at it. You know, these kinds of things. But the idea here is presenting this to bring glory to God and to edify the body. And then the Greek word for service, latria, this represents the act of worship or divine service. See, when we come together here next month to do the feeding of the 5,000, the idea is, well, we're going to enjoy the fellowship, we're going to work hard and all these kinds of things, but the overarching idea is that we do this for the glory of God. And in glorifying God, maybe, just maybe, we'll get the privilege of leading some folks to Christ. You see, that's the motivation behind everything that we do, whether it's teaching a grace group or going with Grace Go on a trip around the world or locally or whatever it is. The first idea is to glorify God because God uses that, our efforts to bring glory to Him, to draw people to Himself because it stops being about us. Oh, you're so great for traveling overseas. No, you're not. Anybody can do that. Not many people want to right now. They're scared. Fortunately, we've got some folks that weren't and went ahead and did it. We can be careful. We can be careful. But we go. Look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. You've heard a lot of messages in years past about conformed and transformed. It's all important. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Conformity, the first part of the verse, 2a, is to be avoided. Finding a place in this world is not necessarily a goal for our lives, y'all. Sometimes we're motivated by finding our place in the world. What am I going to do? I know younger people, as they're going through high school and into college, what am I going to do? How am I going to get plugged into the world? That's not the most important thing. You see, God will take care of that for you. If your primary motivation is to honor Him and to glorify Him with your life. I mean, if we're really honest, how many of us really knew what we were going to be doing in high school? Maybe some of you did, but a lot of you didn't. I had no clue, mostly because I was staying in trouble most of the time, but that's another story for another day. The threat comes from, in quotes, this world. It seeks to draw us away from the will of God and usefulness to God. There's a million things the world throws at us that will take us away from our usefulness to God. Most of the time, we carry them around in our pockets. People just sit around with their device, you know, doing whatever it is people do on those devices. I still prefer a pad and a pencil. I don't know. When a sunspot happens and all of you are out of business because your devices won't work, I'll still be working away with my pad and my pencil. I need to get a 69 VW so I can still drive too, you know, because all of our cars aren't going to work after that either, so. Satan would love for us not to be found faithful to God, but he doesn't stand out here in the middle, wherever it is, over there, in the middle of Oak Ridge Highway saying, hey, y'all, I'm bad, follow me, because nobody would. Nobody would. You see, Satan is clever. He's a deceiver, so he's not going to tell you the truth about himself. He's not going to say, hey, I'm bad, follow me. He's going to say, hey, I'm beautiful. That thing's not so bad. That's not so bad. You can do that. It's not so bad. And that's bad enough temptation right there. But the worst temptation may be when Satan says, That's not so good. Don't do that. It's not that good. Feeding the 5,000, why would you go down there? You might catch something. That's not so good. Don't worry about it. That's the way Satan operates, and that's what we have to avoid. So conformity to the world is the thing to be avoided, and transformation is to be pursued. In our refusal to be conformed to the world, we must adopt the command to be transformed. So in other words, we just don't put off the negative. We got to put on the positive, y'all. We got to find the thing that God wants us to be engaged in and pursue it, listen, with passion. Sometimes we just walk in, we sit down, we look at the lights, we hear the music, we love the music, or we don't like the music, or whatever it is, and we're not coming in here with passion, ready to worship the Lord. You see, what is the word that I'll receive today from my pastor that the Lord is going to use in my life to change me in some way, to make me more useful to Him? You see, is that the attitude of our heart when we walk in the room? You see, our pattern is Christ. We're to follow Him. He pursued the way of the cross, knowing the cost and accepting the pain that we could be reconciled to the Father. He made a choice. He chose. He was God in flesh. He could make any choice. His choices were not limited. The word that Paul used in the Greek here is teleos. It means finished. It has reached its completion. That's what transformed is. Teleos. It's not perfect in that we become sinlessly perfect, but it means that we are striving to become finished in the work that God wants to accomplish within each of our hearts. And this is our goal. Christ completed what was required for us to be reconciled to God, and we must complete the path that He has set before us. We must complete the path that He has set before us. I've got to go fast. Look at verse 3 real quickly. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Listen, we need to evaluate ourselves in light of what God has done in our lives. Not in light of how we feel or the fact that somebody has told us we're special and we're gifted and all this and all that. We just need an analysis. I'll never forget when I was teaching in seminary, we were part of a church where the pastor would let the students, there were a lot of seminary students in the church, and he'd let them preach on Wednesday evening to help them get practice preaching, a lot of these young guys. And I'll never forget this young guy who was in one of my classes. Pastor Bobby, he might have been in that same class with you. He's a missionary now in a part of the world. I can't even tell you where he is. But anyway, he got up and preached. And the first 10 minutes of his sermon were an apology about how he wasn't nearly as good a preacher as the guy who preached before and our pastor. And I went up to him after the service, and I kind of grabbed him by the shirt. I shouldn't have done that. He was a big guy. But I said, look, don't ever apologize for the thing that God has given you the opportunity to do. Just do it. Just do it. If it stinks, everybody will know, and you know, and you will too, and it'll be okay. But don't get up there starting off saying how bad it's going to be. You were God's choice for this hour. That's what I told him. I'll never forget that. You were God's choice from this hour. Don't apologize for it. If you share a witness with somebody in your community and you feel bad because you said the wrong thing or this kind of thing, you need to get over yourself. Because you don't know how. I mean, you know, God used a talking donkey, and Balaam understood what he was saying. We're probably got more skills than a donkey. I don't know, though. A talking donkey, that's pretty good. Speaking perfect Hebrew, Pastor Bobby. And then verses 4 and 5 just talk about the use of the gifts and the variety of them. Let me just share a brief story with you. There was a man, he's gone to be with the Lord now. His name was Carl Standifer. He lived in Anderson, South Carolina. He owned a men's clothing store. He just had a sweet spirit about him, Carl did. And a lot of people knew him. A lot of people loved him. And he was a RA leader at First Baptist Church in Anderson, South Carolina. Some of you don't know what RAs are, Royal Ambassadors. And he taught those boys. And let me tell you something. He loved those boys. And he invested his life in those boys. And those boys could come and hang out at his store. And he would teach them things about clothing and all this kind of stuff. He was a faithful man. And there was one particular boy who was a bit troubled. And he intervened in the life of that boy. And spent time with him. Poured the word of God into him. And not only that, poured his own life into him. And showed him what it was like to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. In other words, he showed him Christ in the way that he lived and the things that he did and in the words that he said. It was an acceptable sacrifice. And I know about that because I was that boy. I know it's hard to believe that I was a troubled young man because I'm so sweet now, right, Teresa? Thank you. She agreed. That was good. Because I am so sweet now. Those last two verses really give us three truths, and here they are. I'll give them to you quickly. Number one truth is the unity of the body. Listen, y'all, we're pretty weak without each other relative to the ministry. Now, God will give us individual things to do here and there. But let me tell you, Pastor Bobby, myself, the other pastors, as good as we might be, we couldn't do the feeding of the 5,000. I mean, we could work hard, long and hard, and it wouldn't go well. You see, we need all of us to be involved in things like that. We couldn't teach all the grace groups. You see, we need you. We need to all join together. We couldn't do all the things that need to be done around here for the glory of God and so that his gospel is proclaimed. Secondly, the diversity of the members and function. There's a great diversity here among us. We've got different backgrounds. We come from different places. We've got different gifts. And that diversity is what God uses to function in a way that will bring about the ministry that he wants to have. And then the third one is the mutuality of the various members. And what that means is each member belongs to each other. We belong to each other, y'all. We love each other. I mean, I'm an odd duck, and I get that. But I've felt a lot of love since I've been here. This time last year, we were visiting up here talking about coming and joining you. And I'm so grateful that the Lord allowed Teresa and I to come and be a part of this place. And here's the most important thing. We all belong to Christ. This is the testimony of 50 years of church membership and working for the common goal of introducing this community to Christ. Pastor Bobby, come on up here. And that's what God has called us here to do. We're here to introduce Carnes to Christ. And you know as well as I do, you can't go anywhere without seeing someone you know from the church and wondering how God's going to use that meeting to communicate his truth, his glory, to a community that's lost and need him.